Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City, I don't know how long they're going to take to let me get into this thing, man. I got people banging at the door, letting me know, yo, Ty, we want in. You got to hear these people, man. They're sitting outside the kitchen right now ready to get at it. Welcome to the Monday Night Sports Wrap-Up, people. They got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with Sports City. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Sports City, we're focused. Let's go.
Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather round, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Just a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Ah, young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfuckers. Your rain.
Okay. The caller number is 917-889-9592. Come on, Sports City, let's get into here, man. I'm telling you. Okay, and let me just say this before we get popping. Thank you to everybody that has been checking us out, downloading us. Been great to see y'all participation. And also been getting some emails from the, if y'all want to send emails like I've been seeing lately, sportscitychefs@gmail.com. We get it, we read it, we go recite it. So on behalf of the people, I'm not saying no names unless y'all come here, because y'all don't come here and give me the support that I need, but y'all will tell me about the show after the fact. So I'll give y'all some credit for that, man. Y'all come in here, do what y'all need to do, man. Get some of this food for thought. Hopefully y'all can keep up with these dishes, man. But thank you for everybody that's been participating, and I want to say that on behalf of the chefs. And I know I had something else I wanted to say at the top of the show, but it'll come to me. I got a lot to get to, and boy, the chefs are ready. We are here, football season, well, preseason, not season, it's preseason. Let me chill. We ain't fully there yet, but the preseason is here, and boy, we got some interesting stuff to jump into already. So we're going to try to squeeze as much as we can in the 60 minutes. We might have to extend this because of the stuff that I do have in front of me. And, oh, yes, I like to kick it to it. Let me just get these boys in here as best as I possibly can. Call again by way of the state of South Carolina, the Brooklyn guy himself out of the city of New York, Chandler Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus. Welcome to the Wrap-Up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good, man. Well, I was doing good, but then Ty sent me this nasty text message, called me all kind of names, started cursing at me, calling me Jabba Jaw, Grape Ape. I don't know, but other than that, I'm good.
Okay. One part of it is true. I did call him Jabba Jaw, okay? I'm not going to lie, that's a cartoon I was raised off of. That was something my mother sat us in front of the TV and said, don't move. So I know about that. Gave me a good laugh to call him that, because, okay, so Sports City, he let y'all into that, right? I'm going to let y'all in to the green room of the kitchen, a.k.a. the Sport Wrap today. So Chandler wanted to tell me something that was on his mind. I'm listening, and then I tried to respond, and he kept talking. And I just said, Chandler, can I talk, man? You're in the two sides of the conversation. Okay, Jabberjaw. That's exactly how I said it. I said Jabberjaw. So I didn't call him Jabberjaw. That was as far as I went. I didn't call him Great Mate. No, stuff like that. I didn't go that far. He's making this stuff up. See, that's why Jay-Z said it best in Parking Lot Pimpin', you can never trust the grimy-ass New Yorker. I'm sorry for cursing, but I got to say it like that. Don't trust the grimy-ass New Yorker. He is from New York. That's all I'm going to say. He's not grimy, though. He's not grimy, but I don't trust him like that. Look, he already lying on me. He started the show off lying, okay? Now, secondly, calling in by way of the state of Arizona, and this is the crazy part, right? So in South Carolina, right, I got Chandler down there telling me, Ty, I'm melting. It's too hot down here. It's too hot, right? And then I'd be like, I like laughing, like, wave my hand at it, because I'm like, well, if you melting, then nacho got to be nacho cheese. You might feel like, I don't know, what are you talking about melting? And you by the water. He's in a desert. down there in Arizona, but we have Mr. Silver here. Welcome to the Rap of How Are You Feeling This Evening.
I'm feeling good, and the only thing I'd like to say is I don't know why Chandler would come up in here lying, so I believe everything that comes out of Chandler's mouth, because why would he have to lie? There's no reason to lie. So, Chandler, I'm sorry that you got cursed at before the show. Maybe we can get past that and have a good show today.
Thank you, Nacho.
I know why it's like this. I know why it's like this, because I'm the darkest one in the room. I'm the darkest one in the room, right? That's what happened? Look, see? Now he chuckles. He ain't even laughing. He's chuckling. Look at this. And then he said Chandler won't lie. If you believe that, then you a fool. Listen, they say if you can fall. Well, how does shit go? I'm sorry, Felicity. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. That's how to say it goes. So look at this. Look at what I'm dealing with. Somebody in the desert that I just was defending. You know what? I ain't even defending Nacho no more. Son took him. Dear son, if you see a silver, if you see a silver family member out there, turn your degrees up to 135. Turn it up. Took them. So then he can see how it feels to be dark skinned. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say. Then he'll see how it feels to be dark skinned. Okay, so I felt like that's taking four cities. So if you're feeling some type of way, holler at your boy. I'll take all of that back. But we just having a little fun. I'm having a little fun with these dudes, and he already said that I'm lying on Chandler. Do I look like the dude that's gonna lie? Like Alan? Okay, let me get out of there. Okay, so the Hall of Fame game kicked off yesterday, and I guess just to give our sport appetite, you know, a sliver of steak, if you will, or you know, a bite of a T-bone, we get to watch some football, good old 60 minutes, regardless of how the situation went down, and that's one of the reasons why Chandler was playing with me, because I wasn't thoroughly involved or impressed with the game. But nevertheless, at least football is here. And throughout these coming weeks, we'll be seeing week one, week two, week three, and week four of preseason football. But some good stuff, some plus and some negatives throughout the game. I want to see how you guys talked about Minnesota and Pittsburgh going at it with a 14-3 score. And there's a big hit, if you will, in this game to talk about also toward the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I'll come to you first, Nacho. Nacho, I'll let you kick this one off first. Your thoughts on the Hall of Fame game. Pittsburgh was, you know, I mean, it's game one to set this thing off, but the Vikings winning the game 14-3, what were you impressed with? What, you know, was negative from what you've seen from the guys that got out there on the field?
Well, this is everything I expected it to be, a game one of five. And this is the only two teams in the NFL that get five preseason games. They get an extra game to try out extra players, as where most of the – or all 30 teams will only get four games. So, you know, they're going to have – they had the ability to play multiple young guys and get all the young guys in. My thing that I took away was how much time Teddy Bridgewater stayed in the game and how many times they utilized those first and second string. Asiata, well, last year they were first and second string. Asiata and McKinney, since AP wasn't playing, they kind of played the same way last year, I think they did last year on offense, and it kind of worked out the same for them. So I think I took away more or less how much time Teddy Bridgewater stayed on the field. Like you said, we thought it would be less than a series. That first series carried on for a while. I thought that would be the only time we'd see him out there, and he trotted out there again and kept playing. So that's the biggest thing I took away, was how much time they're letting Teddy out on this field. So that, presuming that's how they're going to take it, he's going to see a lot of time in game two, which would be, you know, game one for the other team. And he'll see a lot of time in their game three, which would be game two for the other team, against a lot of nobody, so to speak, and a lot of players that aren't going to be playing well. So that'll probably build his confidence up, and he'll be able to build a rapport with these receivers. AP will be playing by then a little more and a little more throughout this preseason. So the Vikings, I took away, they're pretty much chugging away the same way they did last year. That defense is standing up. The offense is still clicking the way it did. They just need that run game in Adrian Peterson. As for the Steelers, no Big Ben, no Le'Veon Bell to start the game. A lot of players, they went with a lot of young guys, a lot of rookies. Bud Dupree, getting held a few times, getting blocked a few times. I wanted to see a little more from him. That would be their first round pick. Other than that, I just feel like the Steelers did everything that a team with five preseason games should do. They sat their stars. They let these young guys get an opportunity. And we got to see some cool, not some cool, but we got to see some good play for from some rookies and some young guys. And the big hit that I know you're probably going to get into for the Steelers, we'll get into that in a minute. But, yeah, that's something that they've had to deal with at that position for a while now, not necessarily injuries, but finding a consistent person at that position. So we'll get into that in just a minute. But otherwise, the Steelers, they played the same way I thought they would if they had all their stars missing. I didn't expect them to come out and be gangbusters, but we saw a lot of talent, and they're just trying to rev it up for the regular season.
Okay, Chandler, I know we were talking in the midst of this game, so give me your thoughts on what you've seen from both sides of the ball, and I guess you get to set it off on the big hit that the Steelers have taken already out of the gates out of this Hall of Fame weekend game. Your thoughts on both teams?
Well, I'll start with Minnesota. Teddy Bridgewater, you guys know I've been stumping for him since he was in college. Teddy Bridgewater is the truth, and the Minnesota Vikings have their starting quarterback for the next 10 years. And I'm thinking at least 9 of those years they're going to make the playoffs and go deep. That's how much I like Teddy Bridgewater. What he saw, I saw improvement and growth just from last season in that series. Now, I get he was playing against like 4s and 5s and 6s, but I'm just looking at how he handled himself. Minnesota Vikings got a quarterback. Pittsburgh, Landry Jones, you're probably going to be cut tomorrow. So go ahead and pack up and buff up your resume because you're sorry. You stink. You suck. The fact that Sean Sweetsum got hurt is so damaging to the Steelers. It speaks volumes about not only Steelers' defense, but their offense. I don't think the Steelers can make the playoffs without him. Seriously, I don't think they can make the playoffs without him. That's how important he was to that team, because you have to remember the stadium they play in. You have to remember how the wind's blowing that stadium. It takes the right kind of kicker to kick in that stadium and be successful as Sean Sweetsum was. For those of you old enough, remember Shea Stadium and Pat Leahy with the Jets and how many kickers it took them to replace him over the next decade and a half. So that's a huge injury to them. I did not know about it until Ty told me. That's huge. I really think it impacts the Steelers majorly. I think it puts their playoff hopes in jeopardy. I really do. Because as we all know, the Steelers play a lot of close games. Their defense, based on what we saw, and a lot of those guys that they played are guys that are going to be supposed to be key contributors for them. They're going to play a lot of low-scoring games, which means your kicker's got to be good. If you're playing 17-point games, okay, you're playing games where you're going to wind up 17-14 is the final score. Your kicker's got to make the field goals. You know, that's huge for them. And it's sad that it's such a big blow. I mean, how many other teams, if they lost their kicker, would we be talking about? They might not make the playoffs. The Steelers' defense is young across the board. They're going to grow into it, but I think that's a major impact to the team. But for the game itself, what I took away from that game is that Teddy Bridgewater is the truth, and that the Steelers don't have a third-string quarterback, and I really don't think they have a backup quarterback, personally.
And this is what I was trying to tell Chandler, if he would have just stopped jabbering that jaw, you know what I'm saying? So I was trying to tell him about the kicker situation, and once I did, he was really enlightened and going crazy. Like, this might spell doom for the Steelers. So this is what was happening in Sports City. So this is why we got into the discussion, and I called him jabber jaw. But no, I had to get that out there. But here goes the situation, and I don't like to do this. I really say I hate to, but hate is not a good word to use in this situation. But I don't like to do this. Because I'm not going to lie. I'm a diehard Big Ben fan. I am. I respect this game ever since he came out of Miami, Ohio. But there is no more of a severe run game to start the season off to help him until Le'Veon gets back after week 2, if I'm not mistaken, as long as that suspension is holding up for him. And if Le'Veon Bell doesn't have a whole bunch of defenses, you know, keying in on him, trying to put seven or eight guys in the box to see if he could beat that. I mean, he can. He has the capability of doing it. But now this is why I say that about Ben. It puts a whole bunch of pressure on Ben Roethlisberger at this point because now he has to finish drives. He can no longer sit up there, and this is why it's big on Sweetsham right now. Ben, and not to say that he settles for, but the Steelers can get to, you know, somewhere near the red zone around the 30, 35-yard line and deal with a field goal and wait to see what happens on the next series. Now it's up to the Steelers to finish drives because you don't want to be in a situation like I hate to use this team or this term or so whatever, but my Detroit Lions had the given situation last year where they went through three kickers before they got it right and getting the Prater. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had they had at least two kickers missing field goal after field goal. You don't want to start the season. I mean, I feel good that the defense was so stellar last year for Detroit that it actually helped them. But Pittsburgh's not in the great world right now of their defense. I mean, their linebacker core is still legit. I mean, we didn't even get to see them play last night. But, you know, up front, they're still in question. Let's see if they can come up with some stops. And their secondary will be tested, like Bridgewater was testing them last night. So, and of course, this is, you know, people fighting for positions or what have you. But I feel like the Steelers are in danger both sides of the ball, especially in that secondary defensively and offensively without their kicker on special teams. Ben is going to have to finish off drives, whether him and Antonio or Heath Miller or, you know, once Le'Veon gets back, they can get to the end zone as best they possibly can. If not, they'll be, you know, basically on one knee holding hands, making sure that they can get these field goals across the crossbar and the upright. So I feel good about what I've seen. Just to see some football, at least 60 minutes of it, I feel good about seeing that. But, you know, Minnesota looked decent. I'm not going to jump off the deep end. I still feel like they could tweak some things. They moved the chains a lot. They made Pittsburgh's defense try and go out there and be successful. But I feel like this was more or less a jump start to them because I don't really want to have that be a measuring stick being the Pittsburgh Steelers defense as of now. But they went out there and did what they needed to do, holding the Pittsburgh Steelers at 3 points, even though it was a preseason game. You really didn't see the first team or second team offense like we thought or we should see down the road. Excuse me, let me say it the right way. And be fortunate that they could possibly pick up a good kicker and not worry about losing a guy like Sweetsham. Nacho, I know you wanted to talk about it. You were saving it for it to get announced. Your thoughts on their kicking game moving forward for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
You know, the kicking game is an important process. And to back up the stat, I guess, or what Chandler said, 59 to 64 is Sweetsham's field goal over the past couple years. He's made the most in Steelers history. So that is a big loss for them. Thing is, they've got veterans like Billy Cundiff, Shane Graham, and Jake Feely out there, depending on how they feel about those guys and how they can kick in that win. If they can get someone in there that is decent, and with this offense, with Le'Veon Bell and the way those Antonio Brown and those other receivers, if they can get open, get them down there closer and closer. The wind is a factor, but I think if you can get it close enough, obviously you can get a short low kick, get it driven in there, and get some points on the board. So I don't think they're in as much danger as Chandler thinks they are, but I do believe this is a problem for them. They do need a kicker that they can rely on. But like I said, with this offense, I think they'll be able to get down the field, and if not score touchdowns, at least get them within the 20-yard line to make these kicks not so difficult for the kicker or whoever they decide to go after. So it's just it really is an interesting thing. You know, first game, the thing is, this is the first game of five for them in the preseason. They get to try out as many kickers as they want for the next four games and see what they can do, see how many kickers they can work out. So, and then first round of cuts come and second round of cuts and things of that nature, and then there'll be more and more kickers available for them to go try out. They have a lot of time as it pertains to this happening game one, preseason game one of their five, then game three or game four. So they get a little bit more time, and they get to see all these kickers live on other teams as well that can get released. So it's bad, But at least they got a little bit of time, and they could try and get one of these kickers or maybe get a veteran in there and see what they can do for them. But like Chandler said, they're going to need someone that can be consistent and get some points on the board for them because this defense might be letting up. They might not be the top-notch defense that they once were with key players missing along with Dick LeBeau.
Chandler, anything you'd like to add or we move forward?
I'm sorry, man. I'm here. It was another call trying to come in, and, you know, with these smartphones, you can't, like, talk to one person without talking to another. But I think Nacho covered it perfectly. Everything you said is correct now. And I didn't think about the fact that they have the preseason games. So that is something that I have to take into account. But I still think that just the loss of Sleesham, you know, the fact that it's such a huge thing and the fact that we even have to talk about it, it speaks to the state of the Steelers' defense.
Okay. I don't know where I should go because these two topics that I have coming up next are mildly linked together, people. Mildly linked together. But one actually bothers me. One bothers me a lot, and one is like, how do you guys feel about it? You know what? I'll go to the one that is how do you two feel about it, and I'll go to the one that bothers me. I'll save the best for last. I got to, because I feel like he is the better one in the situation. The one is that how do you guys feel about the situation? Well, Cam Newton, the starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, gets into a fight with Josh Norman, a cornerback from the Carolina Panthers. He picked Cam off, ran to the sidelines, and kind of started bragging along the sidelines, and guess who's following him as he's scampering to the sideline? Not in a walk, but he was basically running over there to show his frustration being the starting quarterback, Cam Newton. Now, mind you, I won't take anything from, I won't call him like the usual quarterback, and especially in a scuffle, because they're not the ideal guy that you would think to go over there and start some drama. Cam's a big guy. He's 6'6", he's 250, and solid. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about his fighting skills or whatever. But they're in a big melee. Both benches clear, and you got the whole Carolina organization on top of the pile. Cam is underneath the whole madness, and they're pulling him out from underneath the thing. Now, I know it's the heat of the summer. I know it's the competitive nature of these players. But how do you guys feel about this? And it's interesting that they were using a number as I watched the video on this previously. How do you guys feel about your $60 million guaranteed money quarterback sitting underneath a pile in a scuffle because he got picked off? Now, mind you, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers said, it's actually good to see your quarterback throw an interception in preseason or in practice because you don't want them to make that mistake again. Now, they said that Norman and Newton have been going at it like crazy in camp. Now, I think it's more or less a raise the level of Norman, plus he's playing for a contract. And two, I mean, you want your defense to challenge you, Cam, but at least that's how I'm feeling about it. But maybe I may be jumping the gun or looking at this differently. But you don't want your quarterback in the scuffle, and i.e., when you're in a fight, you'd use what? Like, unless you're using your feet and your knees and stuff, you're not kicking, you're punching. And he has a $60 million hand. Now, this is something that they brought this. Picture Cam breaking his hand in that scuffle underneath that pile. What the heck would the Panthers organization do then? I'll throw this one around the kitchen and see how you guys feel about it. Chandler, I'll let you spark this one off.
Cam Newton has to be the dumbest person on the face of the earth. This is why people call him immature. This is why people call him... This is why everybody says all of the negative things about him that they say. Are you kidding me? I didn't hear about it. This is the first time I'm hearing about this. Is this actually true, Ty? You're not messing around. This is
true. I'm so serious. I just seen the scuffle and everything with Mike Tobin and them pulling him out from underneath the scuffle and everything. Like, they got to the point where Cam Newton's helmet got ripped off.
If I'm the Panthers, I said, you know what? If I'm the Panthers, I try to, you know what?
They can't do nothing to him. They can't do nothing to him.
Okay. let me say what I would do if I'm the general manager. If I'm the general manager, I cut him for 12 hours. I tell him he's cut. I don't actually cut him. I don't actually cut him. But I walk in there. I have the Turk going in. Give me your playbook. You're done. To illustrate to him just how much he jeopardized not only his team, but his career. Like you said, what if he breaks his hand? And it's that type of break where the hand never heals properly. You understand what I'm saying? His career is over, Ty. Because somebody intercepted you, because a cornerback is talking junk to you, are you that mentally fragile? Are you that mentally fragile that you can't take your teammate intercepting you in practice? We talking about practice. Yeah, I'm going to break out AI for you. We talking about practice, man. We talking about practice. Okay? Are you kidding me right now? Are you serious right now? Listen, Cam Newton needs a big ass size 16 up his ass right now. Straight up and down. What is wrong with him?
Oh, man. Interesting enough, they said that these two, and listen to this, Chandler, after they break them up, right, they said they went back out there and continued to practice, and Cam kept jawing to Norman, telling him he won't do that again. So the heat is still there. So they're going to go through this week after week until they really get into week one, week two of the regular season and really see the importance of each other on this team. Now, the interesting thing that they also said, too, was not only is it a detriment to the team and, well, not even, I'm saying it wrong, not only is it a detriment to him and his career, but how much the team is banking on that hand to get them as far as possible. Him being in a scuffle trying to hit a dude in the head while his helmet is on, so on and so forth, the dog, like that really isn't smart at this given time. And knowing this is the one thing that I give the edge to Cam, that he's not older. Like he's 25, 26 years old. He needs to get more mature. I don't want to call him immature, but it is an immature situation that he's in. But I respect Cam, and I do like Cam. But seeing this and how it did go down is very questionable, to say the least. Him being, he's the leader of the team. And I don't mean to hold him in the same light, but I kind of have to. Picture Tom Brady getting picked off by, I don't know, Arrington. J.J. Arrington picks him off, and you know J.J.'s high-spirited and be talking junk. Picture Brady going over here, and you know Brady just be talking junk too, like, and Brady get into a fight. Like these quarterbacks aren't doing that. And the money that the Richardson family, well, Jerry Richardson threw into you, I don't know. That's very questionable up until this point. It's early. And, you know, preseason or, you know, training camps or what have you. Nacho, your thoughts on the situation, Cam Newton, in the middle of a scuffle in practice with Norman?
I know you think Chandler hit it directly on the head, you guys. There's no more that really needs to be said towards, you know, the idiocy that is of fighting when you're the leader of a team, a quarterback, especially when you fight with your hands and you throw with your hands. So, I don't understand that concept. And you made the point that Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers said that they don't mind throwing interceptions. Well, Aaron Rodgers is quoted as throwing balls, throwing footballs into areas that the defender has a chance to fight for the ball. Not only does he do that on purpose, but he does it to build up the confidence or to see if these young receivers will fight for a football or if these young defenders will fight for a football because they're also on his team. So, you know, he not only is he helping out these guys by almost intentionally throwing interceptions, but he's also seeing who's got the heart, who's got the intangibles, because everyone can have the athletics, but if you throw a ball out there ready for anyone to get, you'll really find out who's got the heart and who you can trust out there when you're throwing these guys balls in real life in-game situations. And like you said, these top-notch quarterbacks, they're throwing interceptions in practice, and they're learning from those mistakes. They're not getting mad at the corners. They're not getting mad at the receivers. They're hitting the game room. They're hitting the books, and they're realizing why they threw that interception, and they're fixing it. So in real game situations, that doesn't happen. And we're seeing Cam Newton just get mad, throw the brat fight, get real bratty, get mad and upset because someone out there is trying to make a play
and he is the star quarterback, and you shouldn't try to make a play on him because this is practice and that's your team and yada, yada, and whatever else he said and screamed at the other guy. And that just doesn't make any sense to me. So, you know, if you're tired of people picking you off, throw the right passes. And, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Like you guys said, you hit it on the head. But there are quarterbacks out there that are intentionally throwing interceptions, and there are quarterbacks out there that learn from those interceptions. And there's no way that you're going to catch any of the other top nine players that are getting paid money go out there fighting for over an interception, especially during practice. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, and just like I said, you know, Cam, with the basically the people in the Carolina area, and I'm surprised that Chandler didn't hear about it because he's down there too, basically at the edge of his seat or holding their breath, making sure Cam is all right. He was fine, and knowing that he was still, you know, after the scuffle happened, still jawing at Josh Norman also, you know, I'm wondering how they could corral this situation and make things better for Cam, but I don't know, man. I mean, they just made the playoffs on a subpar season to be nice. I mean, they were, you know, 6-9-1, and for him to spark off the preseason or training camp like this, it draws question if their mindset is there or if this is just the competitive nature of the Carolina Panthers that everybody's ready to make a push for this upcoming season. I don't know. I'm trying to shed some good light on this situation, but knowing that there is a bit of question in this with Cam Newton basically in the midst of a scuffle with a person that's basically in their contract year. They're going to do everything that they can to make a play on a perennial quarterback in the NFL, regardless of if people respect Cam or not. He's out there to do work. Him picking you off and getting under your skin, you know what? I think that actually works in his favor. I mean, some people may think of it like, yeah, he's using his mouth too much, but his actions spoke also. I mean, he made a play on Cam Newton, and Cam has to look at that as a growing pain. Like, he has to grow from that. If not, then what? I mean, what is he to do next? That's what I'm thinking about. Anything left before we get away from Cam Newton? Okay, the silence helps me. Now, just like I said, these topics are kind of linked with one another when I say this. Now, this is why it gets under my skin, the next topic that I'm about to get to. It gets to me because I am a diehard fan, and I mean diehard, I'm not lying, of Steve Smith. And I'm talking about 5'9", 180-pound, jump ball with three defenders, push a defender to the ground and start a fight with a dude, knock Ken Lucas out in practice, on that same practice field, too, with Ken Lucas in Carolina, no less. There must be something in the air in North Carolina. It must be something in the air, or at least on that practice field, because the teammates always fight out there. But Steve Smith is retiring at the end of this season. This bothers me because I remember his first season in the league, and the first thing that he ever did on a football field, he got on the field and took a kickoff to the house, and that is the start of Steve Smith's career. And everything else Steve Smith did was either electrifying, blew your mind, or you did not know how a 5'9" monster receiver can do things that like 6'2", 6'3" receivers can do. But this is his last year with the Baltimore Ravens. You know, I wanted to give him his credit or his due while being in the kitchen. A memorable moment, something that he did in his career, whether it was that Super Bowl run that they had with the Panthers in 2004 where they fell short, knocking off the Rams in that situation, him getting traded or let go by the Panthers, going to the Ravens and actually playing against the Panthers in the regular season and scoring like twice against these dudes, having a heck of a game. It didn't look like he missed a beat. Been in the league for quite some time. Steve Smith, I want to see how you guys feel about him. Nacho, I'll come to you first. He announces that this will be his last season in the NFL.
You know, obviously, growing up, getting to watch him play for the Panthers is what I remember him for the multiple seasons. I think it's eight over 1,000 yards. But the fact that, you know, in 2013, the Panthers kind of wrote him off and said, you know, you're pretty much done for. And he went on a tear with the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, he bumped up his receptions by 15, his yards by over 300. You know, he was catching his last year in Carolina. It was roughly under 50 yards a game. And with Baltimore last year, it was around 70 yards a game. So just to see the way this man has quote-unquote beat Father Time in a sense, when the team kind of says, you're done for, you're out of here, he goes to another team, they give him a new life, they give him new experiences. Like you said, he's out there catching balls and mushing youngsters to the ground while he runs in for a touchdown. The plays last year, I mean, there's a highlight reel of last year that we can go through and say, I'll remember him for that. But the multiple years in Carolina, the first year with Cam Newton, weeks one and week two against the Arizona Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers, even though they're both losses, the display of catching that Steve Smith did in those two games to help out a young Cam Newton, those games were amazing to watch on behalf of Steve Smith. So, you know, I really take away how big time he was in most situations when they had to throw a long ball deep down there and Steve Smith was ready. And Steve Smith was down there, he was going to catch the ball. You kind of never doubted it. To see him at such a small package go up there and get it against bigger, stronger guys, some of the sense you may think they're stronger, but Steve Smith is that, you know, that strong that you never see, that strong hidden away, and he's just so strong you don't understand how, you know, someone this small can be strong and do the things that he was doing at that position. So I'm just sad to see him go. By the performance of last year, I could have thought he had four more years left. But, you know, maybe he wants to end on the top and not take so many hits over the middle. But it's just it is kind of sad for me to see him leave. But like you said, since 01, a long time in this league. Like I said, last year's performance made me think he had at least four more years left. But albeit this is his decision, sad to see him go. But I'm looking for another 75 catch, 1,000-yard performance this year from him and go out on a high note. Whether they make it deep into the playoffs, they definitely can. They have the roster too. So let's see if, you know, they send him out the way they send Ray Lewis out, not making any proclamations on that. But, you know, just the way that, you know, he could put up big numbers this year, go out on a high note personally.
Okay. I see we have callers in queue. If you want to get in, just let me know. Press 1. We'll get you in here. Just to let me know that you'd like to speak. Chandler, your thoughts on the situation? Like I said, I'm not going to lie. You know me as a diehard Lion fan, and I'm real biased in my boys, and I don't like to talk no type of junk about my boys, so on and so forth, and dealing with a guy like Calvin Johnson and stuff like that. And knowing that, to me, I can care less on how people approach it. I put Steve Smith in that conversation with the likes of Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, just throwing some of the big-name receivers out there. For him to do it, this is his upcoming 15th season in the league, and him still having that step, that cornerbacks and safeties are concerned that they got to keep up with this small guy that packs a punch, whether he's going across the middle, whether he's on the sideline doing a jump ball. I mean, Steve Smith ran every route on the route tree in the NFL. Chandler, your thoughts on Steve Smith announcing this being his final season in the NFL?
Let me put it like this. I don't give a damn about Steve Smith. Let me be clear. He didn't sign with the Jets. He didn't sign with the Jets when he left the Panthers. So I don't care about Steve Smith. I'm not impressed. Let me finish. How many Super Bowls Steve Smith win?
He don't win any. He don't win any. Okay. You got that knock on him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I let everybody else talk. I didn't interrupt. Steve Smith, for his size, was okay. He was good. But you know what? He was a bad teammate. He was a child. He's immature. He was selfish. Okay? So at the end of the day, Steve Smith, you retiring? Good. Good.
Wow. I'm stuck. Look. I'm not going to lie, I love to do solid play, and that's just me. I guess I put it upon myself. I like dudes that go out there and trash talk it to back it up. I love players that play like that, i.e., everybody know my favorite receiver is Randy Moss. Randy Moss is the king trash talker, I probably think, in NFL history. and go out there and ball his tail off. But Steve Smith was similar to that, and I can still remember the game against the New Orleans Saints. They were playing the Saints in Carolina, and he caught a jump ball up on three dudes, and all three of them fell, and Roma Harper was running from the other side of the field. By the time Steve Smith got to the three-yard line, he started slowing down, and Roman Harper, you know, pushes him real hard to make a tackle, but Steve Smith basically is in the end zone, like, clearly. No flag was thrown. Steve Smith started dancing with the ball. Meanwhile, the Carolina Panthers teammates are trying to get to Roman, and they can't really get to him. And who gets to him? Steve Smith, and wrangled him up something terrible, had him on his back. Now, if you see Steve Smith, and a lot of people that are listening to Sports City knows who Steve Smith is, he's 5'9", and they mark him at 195. Well, I think they gave him 15 pounds. I really do think they gave him 15 pounds and had Roman on his back and could not get up because of how tough and strong this dude is. And just knowing that, they would put double and triple teams on this dude, and he would still make things happen. Just to know that he had electricity, people. He had electricity with Jake Del Holm. I don't think if Musin Muhammad and Steve Smith were on that team, Jake Del, nobody would know who Jake Del Holm was. And the monster on that team, I mean, Musin was more physical, but the monster was Steve Smith on that team. So, I mean, he had to make a name for himself, and I think his nature of talking junk, well, guess who his college teammate and friend was while they were in JUCO, was Chad Ochocinco Johnson. So, knowing that these two were in cahoots coming up, it was only a matter of time they were going to wreak havoc and cause terror to some of these teams or organizations in the NFL. Steve Smith, I'm here to back you. I'm not going to lie. You may be on opposite teams of what I like, but I love to watch you go out there and play ball. I hope you have some, I'll say three-quarters of what you have left in your tank for the 15 years of play that you gave the NFL. Awesome guy to watch go out there and play ball. We do have a call in queue. I want to see who this is and what they have on their mind. Calling in Skype, welcome to the wrap-up. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
It's your boy, Messiah, dropping knowledge.
How are you? What's on your mind?
I mean, it's August 9th. We argued about mini camp fights.
Okay, so what's on your mind about the season?
So now if we're going to praise Steve Smith for punching out teammates, it's all about respect. This is why the NFL got their next bargaining agreement. They got to get guaranteed money. You wouldn't have this fight wouldn't have happened if Cam don't get 20 mil and this dude's in his contract year. And people get envious. Even if you pick them off and your quarterback say something about it, you give him a high five, that's it. Once you start putting your finger in his face, and it's a respect factor. But NFL.
So who do you think was wrong or right in that matter? Was it Norman? You know, Norman was kind of jawing off to Cam. Should Cam have the mind?
Norman, who is this Norman? Who is this Norman? That's the problem, because Greg Hardy's on that defense still. That kid's not acting like that. They took away Cam's receivers last year, and Hardy had to sit down, and they still made the playoffs. See, Cam is getting that what happens when you have a prolific black quarterback, when they throw too much on you, and they don't want to give you enough. We watched McNabb go through that in Philly, and now you've seen it again. This kid is still growing. Okay. I don't even think Cam is 25 yet.
But are you really giving Cam a lot of credit for making the playoffs last year? He was 6-9-1.
You rather not make it. Drew Brees didn't make it.
Right. But you're saying that like that was an honorable season at 6-9-1. They should not have made the playoffs.
He was from the year they won 13 games. They didn't bring back none of those receivers. They gave him two rookie receivers and let Steve Smith go. So what does that show as an organization when you don't bring back his top targets and still throw him out there?
And they struggle. But the fact of the matter is, look. He's getting $60 million guaranteed, and he's in the bottom of a scuffle with the quarterback that you're questioning.
You don't think Brett Favre? Hold on. First of all, you'd rather not have a quarterback? Look around this league. I think you try to protect your top quarterback. Now, first of all, they should cut this guy for anyway for just even – When the clips I've seen, you shoving him in the face. What do you want Cam to do? If he walks off, they're going to say he's not a leader. So, all right, first of all, it's July. These guys have been hitting each other since July. pissed off.
So you rather
and shove him, and he gets, yeah, he should have been thrown to the ground. Yes, you jump into somebody that's 6'5 pace. Yes, he should have been thrown to the ground.
No, Cam followed him. Cam followed him to the sideline. You got to look at the video again. He's running away from Cam, is trailing him. And then they get into the scuffle.
Yes, this is my team. What are you doing, punk? Yes. Get him in
line. So you don't do that.
Get him in line. And guess what? Tomorrow, the first play, he should throw right at him again. You want to do that, dude? I'm going to make you that, dude. And I'm going to pull a slant right at you. Audible slant right at you, buddy boy. Option right at you. That's not even in the playbook since you want to be tough. You know, stop. Come on, man.
Right, okay, so if
you... If Costello's out of this team, who do you think would have been gone? I'm in Pennsylvania, okay? Well, you know, if Chip Kelly's running that team, that little D-back would have been traded.
You're right. That's true, too. That's true, too.
Think about where Cam came from. Auburn, he played a whole year under pressure and won him a championship. With all that nonsense going down in the background from him stealing laptops. You forget he was at Florida with Tim Tebow. With these stealing.
Right.
I mean, think about that, though. You got Riley Cooper, Tim Tebow, Aaron Hernandez, and Cam all in Florida. That's why college football is overrated.
Wait a minute. College football is overrated. Okay, so I want to see that. We got Chelsea. I know they probably have some opinions on what you're saying. I'll go to you first, Nacho. Do you agree with him that Norman should have settled down and this is pro-Cam in this situation?
Well, obviously, you know, you would want that cornerback to speak up for himself, but speak up for yourself and then get back in line. I don't think you, like you said, you don't have to keep going at him and doing that, and then obviously once you've been in his face and you try to walk away after the fact, then you know you've already riled him up and got him. Obviously, do I expect Cam Newton to keep walking and take him down? You follow him for a couple of steps. In my opinion, he's right. You put him in line, you put him back in place. There obviously is no one on that defense that is taking charge and telling these young guys to, yo, that's your quarterback. You picked him off, you know, let him get his piece out and get back in line and do it again. That's the way you shut Cam up. You don't go back and run back your mouth as a rookie or a young kid. You go back and do it again and keep doing it. So, obviously, I don't want to see either of them get in the fight. I don't want to see them all. But the instigator, obviously, was Norman. And that's how it is. And
Power three right at his side. I'll teach that part.
Exactly,
power
yeah.
Right towards him. You want to be tough? Go talk to over.
Well, I don't know how they, you know, handle the situation from here on out, but I would have to say you don't put the entire onus on Cam for instigating it, but he has to be the bigger man in finishing it in a different way other than being at the bottom.
Let me ask you this. Why don't you put the onus on Cam that they're in the scuffle and he went to the sideline?
That's what I'm saying.
He's got to
put him in line and be the bigger man to finish it like that, and that's the end of it. There is no throwing the punches. There is no getting to a physical altercation. It's verbal. You say what you got to say. You put him in sort of his place,
testosterone is 1,000 times more. And this is the problem with the NFL. You can't broadcast everything. And I put this on the NFL, too. Stop having all these cameras at practice. I'm old school. Go back to 2-a-days, no cameras. And all this, it's just, come on.
Okay, Ron, who do you like? What's your team, Ron?
Man, listen, I'm just trying to get Sheldon Richardson to beat this case. I got other problems. Okay?
Look, from one Jets fan to another, Taylor, how do you feel about the response right now?
I'm trying to understand something. First of all, Cam being black ain't got a damn thing to do with nothing. First of all, let me be real clear on that. Ain't got nothing to do with nothing. I'm not trying to hear excuses. Oh, you're black. I am trying to hear that. He's a punk.
I didn't cut you off.
I didn't interrupt you.
You're a little too tall right
there.
I let you speak. Right there, he had a rough up. This is why people get punched on the field. We're not even on the field.
I let you speak, right? Did I interrupt you? Be clear on that. I didn't interrupt you. I let you speak. Cam Newton is a coward. Because you know what? There's a history of quarterbacks in the National Football League. In practice, getting picked off. They don't pick fights with the cornerbacks. Had it been a wide receiver and a cornerback, I ain't got a problem with that. Because you out there jockeying somebody, you chicken fighting, you hand fighting, y'all getting heated. You know what? Y'all supposed to go at it. The quarterback's job is to complete the pass. If you get intercepted, you get intercepted. Also, here's a thought. How about you throw the ball to be intercepted? How about you be a professional? I'm not trying to give Cam a pass.
Once again,
I didn't interrupt you, man.
But you're going way off the deep end. The cameras have just been on these fields for the last 10 years. We don't know what used to happen in the
80s. Where? You got $60 million, and you jeopardized not only your team's future, but your own future, because you couldn't handle getting picked off by a mouthy cornerback. What are you going to do in a game when a mouthy cornerback picks you up? You going to start a fight? You gonna start a fight and get kicked out of the game? See, this speaks to his maturity level. This speaks to his maturity level, which has been the biggest knock on him since he got into the league. That he is immature. If your own teammate can take you to the point that you jeopardize your career, what's his opponent going to do to you? Your own teammate took you to the point where you jeopardized your career because you're throwing blows with the hand you throw the ball with. It's not about Josh Norman. This is about Cam Newton. This is about Cam Newton understanding that there are things bigger than him. It's not about his feelings. It's not about who's not on the team anymore. It's not about what receivers aren't there. His job is to be a leader. And sometimes as a leader, you got to eat some shit. As a leader, sometimes you have to take it. As a leader, sometimes you got to let people make fun of you.
One question.
And you got to smile and take it. You can't get mad. You can't get upset. You can't fight about it. You got to smile and say, you know what? You're right. You got me.
One question. You really think it's about an interception at practice?
No, it's not. And that's the point. That's the point. It's not about the interception. It's about the fact that this kid's been riding him, and he's not. His skin is not thick enough to handle it. You're the leader of the team.
On his back. Long time.
You're the leader. You're the leader of. Then let somebody on a defensive unit do it. That's not your job as the quarterback.
That guy's not there no more. He's in Dallas. He's throwing chicks on guns.
Understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. That's not your job as the quarterback. That's not your job, man. Name me another quarterback that got into a fight with a cornerback on his team. Name me one.
Because the NFL just start throwing cameras on all the time. But when the quarterback doesn't do enough, stop right there.
You have gotten out. Without the video, we would still have heard about it. Let me tell you something. I was hearing about training camp fights when Dick Young was writing for the Daily News when I was a kid in the 70s. I was hearing about training camp fights. It's got nothing to do with video. Those stories always get out. Those stories always get out.
I'm sorry.
Here's what I know.
What do you think is going to happen if Cam Chancellor will get his money? Again,
I think that Cam Chancellor is going to play just well enough to not get hurt. I think the fact that Cam Chancellor is not getting his money is going to derail that team. And I've already said that.
If they're in the locker room, it could be a problem. I'm just saying.
Of course it could be a problem in the locker room. But you're not going to see Russell. You're not going to see Russell Wilson fighting Cam Chancellor.
He don't want the problem. People only press people they know they can get away with
it. So that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Because trust me, there's quarterbacks that have been bigger than quarterbacks. Okay? and they didn't like the quarterback. They didn't fight him on the field. Nobody liked Ryan Leaf at San Diego. Were any of his teammates fighting him?
Junior Seau had to save him from a reporter.
But Junior Seau saved him.
It's a respect.
That's my point.
He's going to get a deal because you're picking off in practice. Like, we don't know what happened. Maybe some – we watch ballers now. Maybe something's going on off the field.
It doesn't matter. Your job is to be the leader of the team. As a leader, you cannot.
You know
allow
leader of the team nonsense, Ray Lewis, because y'all for this generation's full of all these little pumped up speeches before a game. We all responsible for conducting ourselves. Now, if you want to put your hands on me, it's on. Quarterback or not, unless offensive lineman should have went up and knocked that kid down, but we seeing this having leadership problems, and that's what everybody's talking about right now.
Okay. Yes, you can.
Because I apparently I don't get to talk. Leadership from me spending 19 years in the service as a combat veteran is about understanding it's not about you. That's what leadership is. That's real leadership. I don't give a damn about Ray Lewis. I'm talking about leadership right now. You're going to be the leader of a team, of a squad, of people, of men. You understand it's not about you. You subjugate your pride and you do what you have to do. Cam Newton failed in that. Period. End of story. You can't lead men when you put your pride above everyone else. That's what he did. That's what I have a problem with. I don't care if it's football, if it's corporate, wherever it is. Don't tell me you're my leader and you're more concerned with your feelings than you are with the group. Cam Newton put himself above the group because here's what would have happened had he not done that. In the locker room, somebody would have stepped to Norman and said, my man, come here, let me talk to you for a minute. This is what you don't do. But Cam Newton didn't allow the group to do that. He didn't allow the group. He did not allow the men he's leading to show what they were made of. He chose to get into his feelings and challenge Norman. He's immature, and he's not a leader. And what he really did, what he showed the rest of his teammates, he don't trust them. And trust me, their record will reflect that at the end of the season.
He does. All that matters when it's 3rd and 7, that little D-back's going to be the sideline, and he better be room for Cam to get the first down. Case closed. Nobody else can do what Cam do on that team. You can always get a nickel back. Slot D back as Chip Kelly just showed in Philly. But they got bigger issues on the Panthers and they need to address that.
Okay, but let's look at it in your situation. Let's look at the Jets situation, right?
Hold on, I gotta sit down.
Why you say oh God?
Make sure Sheldon Richardson's not zooming around here. All right.
Wait, I can't ask you a question? Why you say oh God? Why you say, oh, God? Like, you have to call for God? Well, that's Fox Lewis. That's all I want to do. Now, the fact of the matter is, right, Gino had a situation last year where he had trouble not throwing interceptions, right? So let's just say Gino is in the midst of a practice and gets picked off by Cromartie, and Cromartie starts talking junk. And he starts trailing Cromartie over there. What are you to think then?
I don't have to worry about that because we got Brandon Marshall out. Just seeing how Brandon Marshall conducting himself. All that taken care of. The Jet locker room has veterans already. The Panthers, you know what? What is Cam, 25 years old? I don't know who else is the elder statesman on that team. Maybe Tolbert. So I think the Panthers are just putting everything on Cam's shoulder. And I think you saw the reflection of that little scuffle. Because I can't even remember off the top of my head who's the other veteran in that locker room. The Jet locker room is totally different. You got Revis. You got Cromartie. You got Brandon Marshall. You got DeBrickus Ferguson, who's been there 10 years, Nick Mangold. So the only baby in the situation is Geno. And he's trying to
okay.
prove
I'm setting a different scenario. Let's just say. No. Right. Exactly. Look. Brandon Marshall just came from Jay Cutler. So you giving him credit for being Brandon Marshall is totally negated right now. We can throw that straight out of the window because he just buried his quarterback last week.
Brandon Marshall for years was the friend of Jay Cutler.
But he just buried him last week. Wait. Hold on. Did you hear what he said about Jay Cutler last week?
No, because that's because he had 10 years and went him. See, I can respect that point of view because that kid went on the front line for you for years. This ain't no some new guy who just signed and backed you up for the first two games, and then he didn't get the ball, and now he's turning on you. That you could just tell him
okay.
Boy. Like, he been rolling with that kid since Denver and always took his back. And last year he said no one else was holding him accountable. You know, he got the money, and now the coaches are scared to tell him, yo, you throwing the ball too much, or teammates are afraid to step up. That's what he was seeing. Like, okay, someone's got to speak up. And that's what he was talking about. Like, nobody wanted to hold him accountable.
Hey, Ty.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Jeff George, one of the most hated teammates in the history of football. Nobody liked him.
Right.
He ever get in a fight with any of his teammates? No, he did not. Because, again, just like we know about Ryan Leaf, we would have heard about Jeff George. Regardless of video, the story always comes out. The story always comes out. Regardless.
There's three
about the Ryan Leaf thing, just like we know about things with Eli Manning and Peyton Manning and Archie Manning, and we can go all the way back to the freaking Phil Simms and Bill Parcells and arguments they had on the sideline when there was no video. But we know verbatim what was said, and Phil Simms to this day has verified, that actually happened, okay? And it was reported 2-3 weeks later, maybe a month later, but it always came out. There has not been one quarterback that fought a cornerback on his team on the field after an interception. Now, do guys fight in the locker room? Absolutely. They absolutely do. Have they fought on the field? No. They have not. Cam Newton doesn't get a pass because he's 25. He doesn't get a pass. How long has he been in the league? At a certain
4 years.
You don't get a pass after 4 years. You're a veteran.
Somebody who's led this franchise to two straight playoff runs over
a
30-second clip that we've seen on August 8th. That is just blasphemy.
Because this has been his pattern the whole time. All this stuff we've heard about Cam Newton for 4 years.
The franchise believes that little guy won't be there by September.
I guarantee you Josh Norman will still be on his team in September. Guarantee you he will.
He's playing for a contract.
He's going to be on his team. This is on Cam Newton. This is not on Norman. This is on Cam Newton. This is on Cam. This is wrong sometimes. Cam is wrong. Why is he not allowed to be wrong and have to learn from making a mistake?
NFL existence don't exist because of a scuffle on August 8th.
Cam is wrong for fighting his teammate over an interception on the field. He's wrong for that. Had he fought him in the locker room and nobody ever found out about it, I don't give a damn. You're wrong for fighting on the field. You're wrong. It is what it is. We can agree to disagree. How's that?
I'm
a talker. Hold on. I was giving space because you say you need the time to talk and stuff. All I'm saying is 25, and then once the franchise is backed by you, he really shouldn't have to throw a punch because he is the face of the franchise. But sometimes that's not enough. You got to make an example out of little folks, and that's what he had to do.
So we can agree to disagree.
I bet he won't do it again.
I bet he will. I bet he will, because Cam is going to throw another interception. That's the problem. Can't throw too many interceptions.
Come on, man.
Not if you're going to get mad about it.
To translate this on the field. It had to be something that's going on in that locker room off the field, man.
And again, off the field, there's your, and that's my point, off the field. What happens off the field?
We don't know what these guys be doing.
What exactly, we don't.
Maybe he has better than Cam. We don't know.
My point. You just made my point. Had Cam addressed him in the locker room and whooped his ass in the locker room, I don't care. I don't care. He did it on the field.
Maybe he took the higher road and enough was enough.
He should have done. He should not have done it on the field. He shouldn't have done it on the field.
And looking at the situation, right, Cam is 26 years old. He's been in the league for 4 years. And there are veterans on this team, like Charles Peanut Tillman, 34, that's been to a Super Bowl. That's been to a Super Bowl. So they have veterans there. And he's a part of that secondary, too. And he's a part of that secondary. So there's no hiding behind old Cam as the elder statesman. There are guys that could mentor these guys and put them in the right situation. Cam followed him to the sideline to start the altercation. That's what I'm trying to listen. There's no get in line, this, that, the third dog. He's up there. He's in a contract season right now. He's in a contract season picking off a Pro Bowl, a playoff contending quarterback. Correct? Yes or no?
In the words of Leslie Chow, not Cam's problem.
Oh, God.
You're not going to get a new deal off my back.
Ty, move on.
Wait, okay. Well, I mean, I was in the middle of the Steve Smith rant, and then it got thrown away that way.
Smith would have did if he would have ran up on Cam. Oh my God, Steve would have caught a case and been sent with Aaron Hernandez.
Cam Newton won't run up on Steve like that. Listen, we already know Steve's got a MO. Like they don't run up on the dude. The dude is, he broke Ken Lucas' eye socket, right? That's what he did to him, right?
Steven, remember the Redskins with Westbrook and Stevens back in the day?
Yeah, and Steven Davis Michael Westbrook tore up Stephen Davis. You know what I'm saying? And that was a receiver on a running back. Like, we can talk, just like Chandler said, we can talk about, Chandler just said it, there's fights on almost every field, even just what happened with the Redskins again in the Texans. I mean, knowing that situation just got heated, and the situation, they saying that J.J. Watt was going 110%, and they basically got a lot of those guys riled up. J.J. wasn't at the start of that scuffle, but I think that's what they said the Redskins team carried on. That happens, man. That happens in this situation. But for, like we all can attest here, for him to be the leader of the team, we can't really look at a guy like Peanut Tillman being the face of the Panthers. I could say that he's an elder statesman that could actually talk to Norman in a situation and be like, you know what, chill out. But knowing that this is the nature of this guy going out there, and he's playing for something next year, and he's, what, 27 years old? He's the same age as Cam, roughly? Like, and they came into the team the same time. They both had been here for 4 years. Both been there for 4 years. Like, they came through the door at the same time.
Here's the best, like, here's the best way to end this argument. We can all see this. I'm sure y'all watch Power. Did Ghost have to pop that dude the first episode? No, but he did, just to get his hands dirty. Cam had to get his hands dirty.
Right. No, stop.
Cam had to get his hands dirty, man. You know, now he burnt his clothes, and then we'll move on.
See,
and
this is the this is the problem with the Jets right now, because this is their mindset. Listen to him.
He will be throwing right at Revis. You know what Revis do? He don't even intercept those. He bat thumbs down just to build his confidence.
You're right. Reba just got back in the door.
Ridiculousness. Aaron Rodgers throwing picks to build confidence. What? Those are the D-back coaches' job. What type of nonsense are we talking here? I wish I would be on the offense with my quarterback throwing picks to build up the D confidence. What the hell? You want confidence? Take Viagra. Please, man.
Wow. Well, it's been a hot one. It's been a hot one. Well, we are at the tail end of this show. We went a little overtime.
No, we're not, because somebody's supposed to be coming. No, there's supposed to be some people who was coming for me for Tim Brown. Where are they?
Come on, we're going out there.
Look, the one that I had that said he wanted to talk about Tim Brown. Okay, so we'll ask Ron. Ron, your thoughts on Tim Brown getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, do you agree or disagree with him entering the Hall of Fame.
As a little guy who had a Tim Brown jersey growing up, I think he probably could have did more, though. I think for a couple of years he got lost out there. He just put up quiet numbers, but why not? The Raiders need it. Throw him in there. Throw him in there. Because now with all these receivers with all these similar numbers, you can't keep them out unless they're going to change the criteria. And I don't want to hear about he ain't got rings. The NFL players was never defined about rings. That was only about quarterbacks. But everybody else, you know, NFL's different now. They throwing the ball. He's part of that era. And stuff.
Yeah, but this is okay. So since you said that, the debate was yesterday that Tim Brown should have gotten in as a kick return guy and not a receiver, i.e., to the numbers that you're claiming of about him having quiet seasons at the receiver position.
Like I'm thinking, like his last couple of years when him and Jerry was like over 35 and still putting up in the Rich Gannon, and I think Chucky saved his career and added a bunch of 5 years because he didn't have to run downfield, just ran West Coast routes, and that added to his career. But, I mean, can someone really mention a big Tim Brown Hall of Fame moment right now as we speak?
Thank you.
Like, come on, man. Andre Reed? Hell yeah. We watch Andre Reed in big playoff games put up big numbers year after year. There's certain guys, it's like with baseball, a Hall of Fame I shouldn't have to think about. I think with the NFL, it's becoming that.
Ty, I swear to God, I just said that to you, Ty. I swear I said that to you, that I couldn't remember a Tim Brown moment. I know I said that. Oh, my God.
Ron wasn't the guy that said he wanted to come for you. The guy that said it didn't come today. I wanted him to come because he said, I'll be ready at 7. He didn't come, though. But I did get Ron here. We got high in the kitchen. I loved it. I loved it.
I
definitely brought that heat.
92k.com, hit me up, man. You see them Twitter numbers. We got 67,000, man. I only follow 1,000. I drop knowledge.
Hey, bring your tail back here. You already see how it get down in here, man. That's for sure. Well, I'm going to let you plug or promote anything that you got to let the people know where they can find you at, and we'll get ready to shut the doors on the kitchen today.
Hey, turn them flames down. Make sure Cam is out of there. We can't have him burning his hands.
Yeah, because he said they get burnt up today. I know that. So anything that you'd like to promote or plug before we get out of here?
Nah, I'm going to be a regular guest, man. Me and the Army vet, we gonna make the kitchen hot, man.
Listen, we'll be right back here tomorrow. We'll have more. Don't worry. Look, y'all are ready. And the crazy part is, look, Sports City, we got green on green crime in the kitchen, not black on black. We got green on green crime. You don't see it like this, people. We got Jets fans going after Jets fans. I love it. Look, I can't wait to
go after each other. It's like CMB. This is all we got.
I know. And the crazy part is the first game of the season for you guys in preseason is who?
Philadelphia, right?
No, it's not Philadelphia. It's
not Philly?
Philadelphia.
No, they only play Philly the third game, though. Who's the first game? Don't say the Panthers.
You're not even a Jets fan for real, man. You play pimping.
Not really. I don't play plays the preseason. I'm just trying to – I'm keeping an eye on Sheldon Richardson. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah, well – You telling me that, you know, keep him out of the pan, this out of the third, and you ain't even taking care of day one with your boy. Listen, this is what I'm talking about, Sports City. We can figure these dudes out, man. We can figure these dudes out.
I know they always play the Eagles every year, besides the Giants. I'm worried about the first game regular season at the Browns. I better not see Johnny Football scoring, doing the money. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's all I'm worried about. Preseason, get through.
What happens if you lose to the Browns?
That's it, man. I'm done. I'm done, man. For real. Come on. We lost to the Browns. Come on. We took the Browns for a reason and gave it back. Come on, man. I can't. Come on. I'll call Jim Brown personally, damn it. Tell him, let's do original gangsters part two. I'm telling you, man.
Great stuff. Okay, Nacho, I need a plug, close out. As we shut down to wrap up some good stuff, that he came to the kitchen and we got Jets on Jets crime. I love it.
All right, man. Good stuff, fellas.
All right, yeah. At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You know, it got pretty hot in the kitchen. I enjoyed it. It was great to kick back and listen to both sides of the story. full fight. Got some good stuff coming up. We're working it in as best as we can. I just keep a good lookout for it. Definitely got to talk about the big September fight, November, December fights, and things of that nature. Football season in full swing now with the first preseason game underway, taking off. We got some games this Thursday, this Friday, Saturday. It's just amazing. Football's back. Chandler Summers gone. I'm having a great time. And, you know, take this heat away. Bring back some cooler temperatures. Like Ty said at the beginning of the show, it's hot. Tired of running the AC all day. After that, you know, hashtag back-to-back MVPs. Let's go Packers. And you know, division's ours again. So let's figure out what we're going to be in the seating first or second. Let's go.
Slow down on that NFC North stuff, please. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna let you do what you need to do. But for the food fight purpose, not so for the box itself, for the food fight, Floyd Mayweather came out with his top five boxes of all time. Guess where he put Muhammad Ali?
$5 foot long, $5.
He put him at number five. So I can't wait to talk about that one in the food fight. It's going to be crazy because the other one that he put in front of Muhammad Ali, say that again?
I need to be in on that food fighter because I know why he put him at five.
Right. That's what I said. I can't wait to talk about that top five because some of the boxes he put in front of Muhammad Ali, I'm not going to lie. I love that discussion. And, Ron, you know my cousin loved to go at Floyd, but I feel like he was being real disrespectful by putting some names in front of Muhammad Ali. But we got time before the full fight get in this kitchen. Y'all chill out. I cannot wait to talk about that one, especially that top five. I love you, Floyd. I love you, but you're being disrespectful to Muhammad Ali. I feel like that one.
Yeah.
No, really, like if he beat, okay, before I let Chandler close out, if he beat up on Rousey, he's going to jail.
Under the jail, they're
going to
shoot him on the way to jail.
Right, you can't touch that, Jeremy, you can't, people need to stop, and people are really putting up posts like Ronda will really give him the business, like, stop, like, okay, if they were grappling,
I don't want to say it on air.
Right. I should, look. See, I got your juices flowing already. See what happens when you come in the kitchen? I told you you would like it. I told you. Listen to me,
yeah,
man.
I like what
okay.
You said. I'm cool as a fan.
Mr. Knight, I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote, and I love every last bit of that green-on-green grind here in the kitchen.
First of all, if Floyd Mayweather thinks he can beat a woman that's going to fight back, he's sadly mistaken. He's a coward. You be real clear on that. Floyd Mayweather is a coward. Floyd Mayweather's a coward because he beats on women. Fuck Floyd Mayweather. And excuse me for cursing, but I'm not trying to hear somebody defend Floyd Mayweather when he beats women. Be real clear on that.
He only beats his women. That's different.
I'm out closing out. I didn't interrupt anybody. Be clear on that. He's a coward. Because he put his hands on women. You know how I feel about that.
I do. But this is what I'm going to say. I need you to finish the close out before I say. I'll let you close out after this. I'm going to say this. If Floyd really hit his baby mother, do you think she'd be speaking like his hands are registered weapons?
Because I grew up in a house with it, Ty.
Right.
I grew up in a house with it.
Where she defended
him. Where she defended him to everybody.
Listen, he did 90 days in jail. If he hit her any way, shape, or form, like, it'd be more than 90 days in jail. Type of damage to her face.
Ty. I grew up in a house where the cops would walk around the block and let them back in. Don't talk to me about that right now, seriously. Because, yeah, that's what happens. That is exactly what happens. And if you got money, you get to keep beating your wife. Because she'll defend you to everybody else, and then you go behind closed doors and beat your wife and her kids. That's what happens. For those of you who haven't experienced it.
All right. Okay. So anyway.
Night Channel 7 on Twitter. You know what, man? Let me say this, man. Let me say this. My first memory in life is my mother getting stomped. I'm not trying to hear anybody defend a man that puts his hands on a woman. I'm not trying to hear it. If you wanna rap for somebody, put their hands on a woman, on a woman, then I'm in Monk's Corner, South Carolina. Come see me. My name is Chandler Knight. You want my address? Get at me on Twitter. Come see me. You want to rap for somebody that beats women?
All right, I gotta look up some flights. You know what I'm saying? Like to get this off. Let me stop, man. But I'm gonna say it like this. You know what I'm saying? Floyd is my favorite boxer in boxing right now. So regardless of the situation, I don't think he beat on the baby mother. But that's another story for another day. We got to name for the food fight. We got to name all of that. Look. Sports City, call the fire department. The kitchen is on fire right now. Oh, my goodness. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chefs. We'll be right back here tomorrow evening with the cookout. The grill should be completely lit up. You can already hear what's going on in the wrap-up. We're supposed to do 60 minutes, and we gave y'all extra. We gave y'all extra because one of my boys said they were going to call in, and him and Chandler went at it. Chandler, look, Chandler even left right now after the closeout. This is what I say when I know it's a good show, it gets you to think about it. It gets you to think about it after the show. I know I done left the kitchen plenty of times, like, y'all, I'm so pissed, I could punch trees right now, so I know. This doesn't work. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again, and if they don't know, now they know.
Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather round, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Just a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfuckers. Your reign on the top was shorter than leprechauns. You can't fuck with hoes, what type of ex you're on? I got great lawyers for cops, so dress warm. Charges don't stick to duty, Teflon. I'm too sexy for jail like I'm right, said Fred. I'm not guilty, now give me back my bread. Mr. District Attorney, I'm not sure if they told you I'm on TV every day. Where the fuck could I go to? Plus, ho don't run, ho stand and fight. Ho's a soldier, ho been fighting all his life. So, what could you do to me? It's not new to me, sue me, fuck you. What's a couple dollars to me? But you will respect me, simple as that. Or I got no problem going back. I'm representing for the seat where Rosa Parks at. Where Malcolm X was shot, where Martin Luther was popped. So off we go, let the trumpets blow. And hold on, because the driver of the mission is a pro. The ruling's back. Me. There's a lot of rappers out there trying to sound like Jay-Z. I help you out, here's what you do. You're gonna need a wide lens cause that's a verdict shoe. And you got a couple of beans and you don't have a clue. Your situation is bleak. I'ma keep it real cause fucking with me, you gotta drop a mill. Cause if you're gonna cop something, you gotta cop for real. Don't only talk it, walk like it. From the bricks to the booth, I can predict the future like Cleo the psychic. You can't date skills and wife it. And you can't sell me bullshit, we know the prices. So what your life is, we gon' roll till the wheels fall off. Your motherfuckers check the tires, off we go. Let the trumpets blow, and hold on, because the driver of that Bentley is a pro. The ruler's back. Feel good. Holla at me. The ruler's back. Yeah. Woo.
That's all I got. I'm gone.